Y'all already know what time it is. It's another episode of As of Late Podcast. What's going on with y'all? Hope you guys are doing well on this Saturday afternoon. It's a little chilly, man, but it's cold. I mean, it's a little cold, chilly, but it's a beautiful day outside. It looks good. Sun's out beaming. People out here walking their dogs and shit. You know, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I hope you guys had a strong finish to for me, a up and down week, but finished pretty strong. Yesterday was pretty good. Friday was good. I worked nights now, like I said, doing part-time at Common Market. It ended pretty well. And hopefully will be the start to a good couple of days I get off to, chill with the family, chill with my friends, you know, having a get together later on in the evening. Shout out to the homies that listen to the podcast that are going to be there. Shout out to the people that don't, but are not going to, when I say don't, not going to be at the gathering, but listen to the podcast. Shout out to y'all too as well, daggone, wherever you are, from new people to, people across the globe. You know, I've been getting mad love. I've been getting love from people that I didn't expect, and you know, that's been dope as hell to like see people daggone talking about the podcast and telling me about certain things I said in certain episodes this past week. And it wasn't, like I said, wasn't involvement in it as well when it comes to like having more roundtable discussions. And like I told them, April definitely is going to be the month where I knuckle down and have more guests when it comes to, you know, from 2 to 3 to like a, you know, a good discussion and have, you know, different opinions where you guys hear different voices and the return, hopefully, of my boy Marley. You know, shout out to Marley. I've been wanting just a good area to do it at. I wanted to do it. I have a good one setup here to where I was like, man, I really don't want to bring people to my spot. I want to kind of want like, what's a good location to where I can have like, you know, a meetup neutral location, like I see cats do with like Expeditiously, that's T.I.'s podcast, or like Brilliant Idiots, you know. I wanted something kind of like a studio vibe where I can get it for the low and it'd be a neutral location where I can tell people to go there. Cause I don't want people in my house. I don't want people coming to my house and shit. And so I found a spot. I found Queen City Podcast, like I told you guys last week. So be on the lookout in April. All the people that I've talked to that want to be in the podcast, that have, good ideas, just, you know, iron sharpening and iron, good discussions all around. I hear you. I don't forget anything. And, you know, it's just a work in progress of getting dates to where I have you on the particular weeks in April. Because you, as you guys know, I do this thing every week. It's Tuesdays and Saturdays. And so it's going to be more than enough time to where, especially with my night shift now, working at Common, where I space it out at a good time where we can do it on a schedule that's good for you as well. And so one by one, I'll start asking you guys, you know, what's a good time for you in that month. During the day, probably majority of the time. So it'd have to be on a day where you guys are not, maybe like a weekend or a weekend that I'm off, or a weekday that you guys are off during the day. And just an hour of your time probably would be best. You know, my podcast ranges anywhere from like 30 to like an hour. And so we get you guys in and out and definitely like get, you know, voices spread, not voices, but like, get your voice spread and your topic spread, you know, cause that's what it's all about. You know, I'm trying to build a community of cats, like not with just like-mindedness, but like to the degree what I was talking to with a guy the other day who wants to get on it. You know, it's situations that, you know, we're totally different human beings, and like it's some issues that I may agree with that you don't agree with, and vice versa. And that's what discussions is all about, you know, being able to have those discussions and have those talks, you know, in a good neutral setting where we can break bread with one another and, you know, agree to disagree in certain senses, but still be in a good, you know, ending in a good, you know, respectful manner. And so I got you guys, and salute to the guys that's listening. Like I said, to the new ones listening today, this week, welcome. This is Titus As of Late. You can find me on TitusJ704 on Instagram. You can also find me on anchor.fm/As of Late. Like I said, this weekend, I'm out the way, good vibes. I wanted to daggone make it a lighthearted one to a degree, because I've been talking so much on, like, and that's still going to come serious stuff, but, you know, I just wanted to talk about topics that related to me, and not just me, but friends at that time, like the past previous weeks, dealing with, like, mental, you know, bondage and, you know, depression, and, you know, because, like, a lot of us are fighting that. So I wanted to make this a little bit more of a lighter one, you know, short and not too long, short and sweet, dealing in particular with something that I was watching this morning that dealt with 007. It dealt with 007, and it dealt with the aspect of it dealt with movie villains. And I was watching this SNL sketch of GoldenEye in 007. And, you know, as much as you guys know, if you listen to the podcast, how much I love fucking GoldenEye on N64, and was, to me, still one of the most best games to ever be invented. I was watching this and I was like, you know what, man? I didn't even fuck with GoldenEye like that. I mean, I didn't fuck with James Bond movies. I still don't fuck with James Bond movies, because they had all these villains on here, like, picking on them on SNL. And I was like, man, I don't fuck with these niggas. Like, I don't know, like, 007 like that, to the point. Only thing I know is the game. And it got me to thinking. I was like, well, shit, man. Like, and who are some of the standout villains in movies that stuck out to me, that always, like, you know, that to me in cinema had an imprint? And not just, you know, because everybody has their own personal list and everything, but in my life, to where I was like, yeah, that was, like, to me, like, a historic villain in cinema that I fucked with and still... Excuse me, I'm burping. Ooh, excuse me again. And that I still fuck with, you know, and that gave me that kind of aura and really played that role well, you know, that villain role well. I'm pretty sure that it's some 007, especially with Skyfall. I heard that he did a good job, who played him, the same, because he was the same guy who played the villain for No Country for Old Men. But I still, like, you know, this is just my, as I tell you guys all the time, this is my opinion, my list, my podcast, baby, as of late. That's why we're going to do it in April, where we have different opinions coming on, you know. That's going to be even doper, because, you know, it's dope that you guys listen to where you get my points of view. And I feel like adding two or three more people in, it's going to be even more doper to get their points of view on things. You know, what's their villains? You know what I'm saying? What's their top? And so, kicking off with mine, this is the villains segment of this is the villain episode, to where, like I said, I'm doing something a little bit more lighter, a little bit more humorous today. Kicking it off with me is Michael Myers, because, I mean, I grew up on him. I grew up on Mike, and I didn't want to go, like, because, like, you know, we can nitpick so many different types of villains. I wanted, as you guys know, I try to do my lists pretty, like, all around when it comes to, like, underrated to, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, universal appeal, where people would probably all agree on this particular person, or, you know, somebody that fit a particular role that touched me personally. And so Michael would probably be in my choice, the best horror movie villain for me, because of just... and I said it because we could have had a whole list dealing with that. I'm not doing that. I'm doing, like, all different broad types of villains to a degree. And so I chose him for my horror movie villain because just his aura, his allure, him being big, his story, from Carpenters back in the day to, like, the story of him and just his lore, the mask, huge when it comes to, like, stature. And silent, you know, it's power and silence, silent but deadly, and just, you know, destroying people, going through people, and always fucking coming back, and not even, like, sweating. You know, this man was never, I never seen this nigga run. I seen this nigga drive a van back in the day, in the Carpenter one, and I was like, what the fuck? I didn't even know this nigga was driving vans. But all the other ones, this nigga was, like, walking, like, just chilling and just murdering motherfuckers. And so I had to put Michael Myers on my shit because, like, for me, for scary movie villains, he's the one. Because it's like, he's big, he was silent, the nigga wore a mask. And I still think that shit could happen in real life, a real-ass motherfucker just walking around the streets murdering motherfuckers. Sadly, it probably has. But, yeah, Michael Myers is capping off my list. Next, I got Annie Wilkes. Annie Wilkes is in the movie Misery. For you guys that's unfamiliar, some of you young heads, do your Googles, like I tell you always. Look up Misery and look up the movie Misery and check it out if you haven't. It's about it's pretty much, the reason I chose her is because I wanted to throw a female into it as well, because you guys know I'm all around, you know, don't matter about ethnicity, don't matter about religion, don't matter about race or sex or none of that. And so I wanted Annie Wilkes on here because A, she's a female, and B, she scares the living shit out of me. Because just imagine this, just imagine being a guy who has a fan, and I'm pretty sure any person that's a celebrity, I'm not a celebrity, I'm just saying, even me just being a regular person, but I'm pretty sure celebrities would probably think about this shit and be like, oh my God, what if that really happened? You know, like, Annie's a person that was a fan of this guy who she kidnapped pretty much took him captive from, he gets into an accident, her favorite author, imagine being an author or like a musician, and you get into a car accident and get saved out of the accident by this woman who happens to be a fan of you and makes you a fucking prisoner, breaks your fucking ankles and puts you pretty much as a prisoner in her home because she's a fan of your shit. And that's fucking terrifying to think about it. And just the manipulative and like the nature of the woman that she became for this film, I had to put her on this list because it was something different, but it was, you know, she's still a villain, very villainary. That's not even a word, but we're going to make it a word today. Next on my list, I feel like this would be the universal one. I got Joker from The Dark Knight, to be exact. Heath Ledger, he did a phenomenal job. I mean, there's nothing else to say about that. He played the role so good. I feel like he still had demons that followed him after the role. And just getting into the nature of, like, to me, you know, shout out to Joaquin Phoenix as well. But definitely top three Jokers ahead of Jack Nicholson to me. You got Heath. You got my man who played him in the animated series. I can't remember his name. And you got Joaquin. But as far as like the role of like true villainary, I feel like Joaquin was like a prequel showing you the conniving, the inner nature of why he became so crazy, this character, the Joker. And Heath Ledger was the villain. He was the finished product of the ending of what the Joaquin Phoenix movie is. And so just his nature of just being like his whole not doing it for the money, not doing it, you know, he's doing it just off the pure chaos nature of, you know, just the pure nature of him, puts him on that list for me. And so Heath Ledger playing a Joker is why Heath Ledger playing a Joker is on my list. Next, I kind of brought him up earlier dealing with Skyfall, the character Anton, I'm saying the name wrong. It's a Spanish guy though. It's no country for old man. Anton Chikara. Anton Chikara. From No Country for Old Men. To me, you know, I said his name wrong. Probably is my favorite villain on this list. Just off the simple fact of the haircut, the allure, he's just menacing nature of killing people with a bolt pistol. You know, for those that don't know, a bolt pistol is what you use to kill cattle with, and how you would like pretty much like put the faith of people in a daggone like coin and just literally shoot them like cattle. I mean, he was a hitman for the Mexican cartel, and he really lived up to this. I think he even got an Academy Award for this villainary role. His just allure and just the way that he would question things and people and make them like in a sense like have their life in the hands of, like I said, a coin flip in certain moments of the movie. He was just if you haven't seen No Country for Old Men, it's an older movie. I recommend watching that as well, because he's on my list for a reason. It's just, like I said, he just has a model tone allure of just how he handles business being the hitman for the cartel. And so he's on my list. Next on my list, we're going into kind of like superhero mode. Not superhero, but like comic book mode. I got Thanos on my list, bro. I put Thanos on my list. And I want to do two comic books in one. I mean, because these two particular roles really spoke with me in the villainary nature, in the sense of, yes, they were bad. Yes, they were villains. But it's something about his quotes, and the same with the other guy from the I got Thanos and Killmonger in one, because I didn't want to have, I mean, I went, I was like, either gonna do Thanos or I'm gonna do Killmonger. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna mention both of them because I like them both. They're both from Marvel, but I just wanted to do like one particular, like I said, villain from each kind of field. And so I just chose to put them two both in once with the comic book field. Because Michael B. Jordan did a phenomenal job as playing Killmonger, to the point where you almost get a sense of like, damn, like being on his side. And even though Thanos, of course, takes away half of the fucking world in the the Infinity War film at the end, and you get sad about that, his quotes, some of these quotes that he came with would be like, damn, like, that nigga, you kind of understand like the nature of what he's trying to, like, it being like a sick planet, and like, you know, the rottenness of human beings and nature, like, you know, like wanting to take is that, it's almost like a sadistic way of thinking, but it's like, in a sense, he puts it almost sense, like in a sense where it's like you relate to him, and it's just like, damn, man, it's crazy. And he's just like powerful as hell. He's the most powerful villain, like, that was in the Marvel, I mean, not in the Marvel Universe, but as in film as to date. And Killmonger is the same. I mean, he wasn't, like, powerful, like, supernatural powerful like Thanos, but, like, his quotes and, like, his vision coming from Oakland, finding it, you know, wanting to get back to his roots in Wakanda to get the throne and, like, do stuff different, like how he was going to do, like, a new revolutionary, almost like with Black Panther type. Like, when I say Black Panther, I mean, like, the real Black Panthers, like he was gonna bring that into like Wakanda, like, yo, we need to be y'all stingy out here. We need to be giving these out to like people around the globe, this uranium and shit like that. You kind of related to him because, like, damn, like, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy, but like it's cynical. But at the same time, I related to him with his quotes and what his mindset on certain things. And so I had to put both of them on there, even though it was comic books, it was comic book movies. I had to put Killmonger and I put Thanos on here, but I put them on the same line. Next I got Hans Landa from Inglourious Basterds. Inglourious Basterds to me is one of my favorite films from Quentin Tarantino. It's definitely in my top it's in my top three, honestly, from Quentin Tarantino, to be honest with you, because I love it. It's hilarious in a manner, but it's sad in the nature of like it's based on real. I mean, it's not based on real shit. It's based on real shit, but it, you know, the characters are fake. But it's humorous in some of the way that it does it, having like the guys that, you know, the group of Jews that's killing the Nazis, and you know, Brad Pitt leading the way with that, and it's sad in a sense because, you know, this stuff really happened in like years ago in the 40s, you know, World War II actually happened. Nazis were a thing. You know, people dying, Jews dying, like how they died was a thing. That really was a part of history. And so the role that this guy played, being so Hans Landa, being the Nazi, I don't want to say if he was like the right hand. He was the guy who was searched for Jews for Hitler in Inglourious Basterds. Just his wit, his demeanor, you know, his smart-witted, you know, answers and quotes, how he, you know, his presence of just like being small in stature, but just like, you know, the aura of just like evil around him, of what he was doing, capturing these people. I had to put him on this list, because like I said, that's one of my top three favorite Quentin films, and he's probably my favorite villain in a Quentin. He may be my favorite villain in a Quentin film. And so I had to put him on there. Next, I got Hannibal Lecter. I got Hannibal Lecter on here because when it comes to, like, films and when it comes to cinema, He has, to me, like, one of the most iconic scenes in film, and in film, period, with that scene where he's, like, when he's in the prison, and he, you know what I'm talking about, with the tongue and shit like that. That shit like that, I mean, that shit daggone is like, ugh, it still gives me cringes to this day. And I mean, like, kind of in the sense of, like, I mean, not in the sense of, like, being, I mean, he's Hannibal Lecter, but, like, in the sense of, like, what I talked about with Hans, being so manipulative, smart with it, just always, even though being in the chamber and locked up, like, always seeming to still have, you know, being in the heads of, like, the police and shit like that, and always being ahead of the curve, even being locked up. Just, he was a very iconic character and an iconic villain that I put on this list. And, you know, he, like I said, one of the most iconic scenes ever in film. So Hannibal Lecter is on my list. Next, I got De Niro as Max Caddy in Cape Fear. He plays this southern, he has like this southern fool, the lure, southern fool allure, but is smarter than everybody and really one step ahead of the curve, just like kind of with Hannibal. And like, you know, when he gets out, I mean, funny story about this guy, I mean, he's just a crazy fool that, like, I had to put on it, and to me has one of the best fucking villain theme songs, that shit, that even, like, to the, I mean, the Simpsons, the first time, I didn't even know about Cape Fear till later on when I got older. The first time I heard that dun, 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 that theme music from Cape Fear was actually Sideshow Bob from the Simpsons, and would always associate that with Sideshow Bob. And so I didn't even know about this until later on. I was like, wait a minute, this is the same shit. And then I saw the date. I was like, oh, shit. Like, damn, this shit been out for years. And so after watching it, from that, actually jokingly being like, oh, yeah, I like, because I used to always love that music when Sideshow Bob came out. And seeing that it was with Cape Fear, like, just made me watch the film. I was like, oh, shit, yeah, this motherfucker, De Niro went in on this shit. And it was another side of De Niro I haven't seen. And so it was dope to see him in that kind of role, being like a villain. And a psycho like that. So Max Caddy on Cape Fear. Next on my list, I put Denzel on here. I put Zell on here as Zoe Harris on Training Day, because I mean, for me, I don't know if you guys would consider this a villain, but that's why, you know, this will. We got the podcast for it to debate and put my list, and then you guys got it, you know, Titus J704 or sorry, my mind went blank, anchor.fm/as of late. Hit me up with your list, hit me up with your thoughts, why you don't think Zoe would be a good villain. I think he is, in a sense of what Harvey Dent talked about in Batman, that Jay-Z used as well. Like, he either, I forget the first part, but he said, you either do this or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And I feel like Training Day with Denzel is the perfect version of, like, what real life society have to do with real life corrupt cops. That is a villain that probably came into the establishment wide-eyed, ready to really help people out, but get twisted up in the corruption of the government, of being a cop. And he's the perfect example of that, you know, got, you know, very villain, you know, use this word again, even though it's not a word, very villainary, very villainy in his approach of, like, being the law, but, like, abusing the law, that, you know, uses bash to get what he wanted too much to the degree where, like, you know, if you, spoiler alert, never seen Training Day, like, he pretty much bites off too much that he can chew and gets in bed with some Russian gangsters, and, you know, he ends up dying at the end. But just his corruption throughout the film, and just to, you know, you see as the movie continues, like, that he is the villain, and you see Ethan Hawke still trying to fight being this good guy that has a good heart, and Denzel's heart completely, like, you know, being lost and gone years ago, which I feel like that's why he got that Academy Award for, because he played the role of being a villain and being corrupt so well. And so I had to put him on this list because he did a great job of being what I feel like is a real villain in society. Like, that shit's real. Like, it's really corrupt cops out here. I can see that. And it's a bunch of Zoe Harris's. Hopefully it's not a bunch, but it's Zoe Harris's out here, unfortunately. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. And so that's why I put him on this list, based off the reality of the nature and sense of who he played as well. Next, I got from actually one of my favorite Christmas films as well that we talked about last year. I got Hans Gruber from Die Hard. Got two Hanses on here. What's up with these German guys, man? Got two Hanses. Got had Hans Landa earlier from Inglourious, and now I got Hans. That must be an evil name. If I ever, I should get like an evil dog or something. Oh, no, I don't want no evil dog. I don't know. That still kind of like that name, even though it's evil in evil German people. Hans. Hans. But yeah, I got Hans Gruber on here from, like I said, Die Hard. Kind of in the same sense of the other Hans, though. I mean, just more of, he's just more, you know, doing like, you know, what Die Hard is totally different, but the wit and the charm is kind of similar to a degree. So I'm wondering if like he took some of like the charm, because of course Die Hard came out way earlier than Inglourious Basterds. But that's a question that I would love to hear. Like, did he look at some of the, you know, the mannerisms and like the mannerisms and the what's the word I'm looking for, wit and charm that this Hans had, and the, you know, being so tactical, he was so deadly and tactical in this, you know, like being such a mastermind, but seeing his plan fall through by somebody that he considered to be like under his IQ. And so, and I'm, with that, I'm talking about Bruce Willis. So it was, I had to put him on there just being, when you think of like old films, especially being like the evil genius who like, you know, who has the wit and the plan, the master plan of trying to like make shit happen, with what they were trying to do, like take over shit with the Christmas party. I had to put him on this list. He was a good villain. He played a good villainary role. And so, yeah, that's my list. That's my list. I'm gonna go with that today, you guys. I got, like I said, I got Michael Myers, I got Joker, I got Annie Wilkes, I got Anton. I got Anton from No Country for Old Men. I got Thanos, I got Killmonger, I got Hans. I got Hans number one. Hans Landa in Glorious Bastards. I got Hannibal Lecter. I got Max Caddy. I got Zoe Harris, Alonzo Harris, China Day, Denzel. I got second Hans. I got Hans Gruber. I'm sorry. I was about to go too far with that. Gruber. Die Hard. And honorable mention for you. This is actually somebody that I was thinking of earlier. And I make him an honorable mention because it's animated, and that's a whole nother field. I'm not even gonna do like animated villains. That's a whole nother ball game. Then I have to do anime villains, because man, I can maybe in the future. But I had to put this guy in just based off my childhood and him being so villainary, just off the story. I'm back. Technical difficulty there. But I'm going to end with this honorable mention, though. You're going to get some of this honorable mention. The honorable mention that I was talking about, like I said, that I grew up on. And that I grew up on. I'm sorry, I'm just laughing at how I got interrupted. That I grew up on, that was animated, is Scar. It's Scar from The Lion King. Scar from The Lion King, I put as an honorable mention on my shit. Because look at the story of this motherfucker. Even though he's a fucking lion, this motherfucker was evil as hell. He hated on his brother. He hated on his fucking nephew. He killed his fucking brother. Took over the throne. Made him like fucking, you know, he was a fucking asshole, dude. He's fucking villainary as hell. He's mean as hell. He's a villainous at the top peak. And if it wasn't for Simba Dagon, he would have destroyed the fucking kingdom. And so Scar I had to put on my list as an honorable mention, because that motherfucker was a jerk. That motherfucker was a piece of shit who hated on everything that Mufasa did, and fucking killed his own fucking brother, dude. Killed his fucking brother, and about tried to kill his nephew too. Made his nephew believe that he was the reason the dad died, went off in the wilderness and daggone, you know, this is only a 2-hour movie, but Simba's fucking grown up when he comes back. This nigga grown as hell. This nigga left as a kid, as a cub, daggone. So come on, man. Scar had to be on this shit as honorable mention, because that's what I grew up on. I grew up on that Disney shit anyway. And so that nigga definitely gets an honorable mention of being on some villain shit. Because animated or not, that's some evil-ass villain nigga shit. And so I'm putting Scar on my shit. But that's it, guys. That's it. I'm going to end it on that note. I hope you guys have a good I hope you guys have a good rest of your Saturday. As of late podcast, you guys already know, this is your boy Titus. You can reach me at TitusJ704 on Instagram. Anchor.fm/as of late. Spread the word if you guys are listeners. Spread the word if you guys are fucking with it. And like I said, I hope you guys have a good rest of the week, or a good Saturday. And yeah, just have a good weekend. Let's go with a weekend first, one day at a time. All right, peace.